Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning Envy Pro Call. Today is April 13th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotoVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotoVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. I was trying to think, Jen, Rob and I were just talking right before we started recording. You realize we are coming up on like 13 or 14 years of doing these things, like every week, pretty much every week.
Yeah.
And I was telling Rob that there have been times in the past when we first, you know, got it started where we would come on and it would just be me and you. And you know, we'd have the conversation, okay, do we still talk about this? Do we still put it up? Because we get the downloads. You know, there are lots of you out there listening to this via recording, which I really appreciate. I love hearing from you. But it's always every time we hear that ding of somebody coming on, I just really appreciate it a bunch. I did want to mention that I think we are going to cancel next week's call, and we'll send out a message to this regard. But we're going to be many of us are going to be at WQA next week. At the Water Quality Association convention. And I was looking at the schedule, and it's a really, really, really busy schedule. So we'll send out a message to this. So we'll have today's call, and then next week we will not have an MV Pro call. There will not be an MV Pro call next week on Thursday. However, we'd love to see you at booth 524, or catch up with us in the hallway if you guys are going to be out there, and we'll definitely be back in 2 weeks. No MV Pro call next week because of the WQA convention, but we will see you guys or talk to you guys in 2 weeks. So with that, also wanted to mention we still have two more spots available for our premium installer training course. Yes, this is an advertisement for our installer training course. but we have two more classes available. That class begins on April 24th, and you can get your WQA certified installer certification and learn how to do some installs and come. We also have the shorter courses and customizable courses available as well. So please reach out to us if you have any questions about any of that. All right. So with that, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have, or thoughts, or comments, or anything at all? Anybody have anything?
Kelly, I do. I forgot to invite him to the call, but I'm going to ask him to listen to the recording. I want to invite, we have John Peterson, otherwise known as JP, one of the newest MV pros that we have hired for McGowan Water over in Mankato, Minnesota. So he will be starting the week after convention, and I am super excited to have him on board. So I'll probably
really
reintroduce
cool.
him on the first on his
yeah.
first Thursday call.
It's kind of cool to be back, you know, now that, I mean, we are pretty much full-fledged back out of the zombie apocalypse and back to able to go back and hire and train MV pros and clients and salespeople the way we used to do. So that's really been picking up over the last year, and it's kind of exciting to go back and do it the traditional way we've kind of always done it, isn't it, Jen? You know, to go
basically
move to the on location and spend time going out and working with them and training them and teaching them. So, that's pretty exciting to bring new people into the industry for sure. Anybody else? So I wanted to talk a little bit today, and we've touched on this topic a little bit in the past, but I think it's been a couple years since we talked about it. And there were a lot of different there are a lot of different directions that this call could go. And I'll sort of leave it up to you guys if anybody has any thoughts or comments, and we'll kind of go there. But basically, I wanted to talk about dress code. And I'm going to start with that. There's a couple little things I wanted to mention here. First and foremost, I want to talk about a doctor. Now, you guys have heard me talk about doctors in the past, and, you know, if we're going to be professional, if we want to be perceived as being professional, then we have to emulate what other professionals do. And one of the characteristics of other professionals is that they are, you know, they all have a uniform of some type, right? That's, you can usually identify them just by a picture. I mean, you know, if you look at a professional athlete, they have uniforms. If you look at firefighters, you know, most of them would be considered professional. But certainly doctors, you know, you would identify doctors with their white smock and their stethoscope if you saw a picture of them. One of the questions I will typically ask when we're training new salespeople or new installers is, you know, if the doctor came into the office midday, let's say you were, you know, had an afternoon appointment, they came in with evidence of previous patients, so fluids or blood or, you know, even if they came in with dirty fingernails, or maybe the you walked into the office and the tool and their, you know, their all their tools were just spread out all over the table and disjumbled and discombobulated all over the place. How confident would you feel about that doctor? You know, and I think that's always interesting because I've talked to a lot of service techs or installers in particular who they go out and they do a job and they get filthy dirty and they, you know, go throughout their day that way completely, you know, looking like they've done a complete install or had to do service and they've gotten water and mud or rust, you know, iron. We change the filter and you get iron all over your shirt, you know, those types of things. And they go, well, you know, the customer knows I've been working. I've been out there changing other filters. And I think, okay, what about the doctor? You know, how confident would you feel in what they said? You know that they've had other patients that day. They've done other surgeries. You want to see evidence of that surgery. And that's, you know, and even when you look at, like, the professional football players, you know, they start the game off with clean jerseys. Now, they may get messy during that game, but before the next game, they put on new, clean, fresh jerseys. And so, again, I, you know, often say, if you want to be perceived as a professional, then we have to emulate what other professionals do. And I think back, those of you that have read my book know I kind of talk about this a little bit in my book, where when I was in sales, I was spoiled. I generally had a closing ratio of 80 to 90%. Now, most of that was because I generated the vast majority of my own business. It's way easier to close and sell leads that you self-generated, you know, through referrals or relationships or those types of things in it as a house lead. So when I say 80, 90% closing ratio, I don't know that I would have that if all I got were house leads. But we generated most of our, or, you know, I generated the vast majority of my leads. And so they were much easier to close. But there was one particular month that I had 12 in a row that I didn't close. I mean, 12 appointments in a row. And for somebody that closed, you know, 8 out of 10 of every appointment, you know, with the appointments I ran, that began to have an impact on me psychologically. It began to have an impact, well, certainly on my income. It was, you know, it was tough. It was a tough month. And I think it was a February, if I'm recalling. It was a tough, really tough month. And so one of the things that I decided to do was to go back to the basics, you know, because when I first started, you know, I didn't have all the knowledge, but I had the enthusiasm. You know, isn't that the case a lot of times in sales or anytime you start a new job? You start with a ton of enthusiasm, but you don't have the knowledge. And as you gain more knowledge, we tend to lose enthusiasm. And I always thought, wouldn't it be cool if you could combine the two, right? If you could take the enthusiasm from a new person and combine it with the knowledge of a veteran, wow, they'd be unstoppable. And but that's kind of what I decided to do when I had that month was, okay, I need to go back to the basics. I need to, you know, go back to doing the presentation, a thorough presentation. I had definitely been taking shortcuts in my presentation. One of the things that I noticed, and relevant to today's topic, is that I had started wearing jeans and tennis shoes. I was still usually wearing a logoed shirt, but I was wearing jeans and tennis shoes. Sometimes in the summertime, in the spring, I was even wearing shorts, you know, and going out, and I was wearing a hat. It was a logoed hat. Now, I definitely had a, you know, it had the company logo on it. I wasn't wearing like a John Deere hat or anything like that, which is amazing when I see people do that. I mean, when you're dressed in a uniform, that would be like a, you know, like a football player coming in and wearing a basketball cap, you know, as part of their jersey. I mean, that's make your uniform. But anyway, I definitely took a look in the mirror. One of the things I had grown a full beard. And in Michigan, a beard is pretty typical. That's not an uncommon thing, but I didn't have a beard when I first started. Now, to be fair, when I first started in sales, I was wearing a tie. I was going out on every sales appointment wearing a shirt and tie. And until one Saturday, I ran an appointment, and the guy wouldn't even let me in the house until I took off my tie. And then I realized, okay, it is in-home sales, and a tie for the type of sales that we're doing might have been a little too much, but definitely a nice polo shirt, you know, Dockers, get rid of the tennis shoes. You know, that was something that I had done at the very beginning. And so I started dressing the role of a professional, you know, sales professional again. And I think part of what it did for me was it made me feel more confident. I felt more like a professional, and that is half the battle when you're, when you're out dealing with, when you're talking about this stuff, and when you're selling it, when you're making recommendations to the customer, half the battle is your own attitude, right? Whether you believe in it yourself and your approach, and if you're feeling desperate or unprofessional, that's going to go a long ways towards the customers perceiving you as desperate or unprofessional, and they're not going to want to do business with you. So I started dressing professionally, and it is amazing. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but sometimes when you put on nice clothes you ever dress in a tux, you know, and go out someplace really nice, it feels good. You know, it feels good to put on a suit and to, you know, for some people it may be awkward, but you feel like your game is up, like you're, you know, when people make comments, wow, you clean up nice, it's kind of a compliment. I mean, it also could be, you mean I look like crap every other time? What do you mean? You mean I look horrible every other time? But it is kind of nice to, you know, when somebody says you clean up nice, and I kind of want to be perceived as being cleaned up. But anyway, it made a difference. I had the best, the month following my worst month ever was my best month ever. And, you know, some of that was because some of those 12 appointments that I ran that hadn't closed before suddenly started closing and they came through. But some of it was just in the approach, in the attitude. It's incredible to me how often I see salespeople and service. You know, we've been doing this, the installer training facility, and we have been asking people to come comfortably, but most of them have been coming dressed in their uniforms, in their company uniforms. And I have asked a couple of the classes, you know, is this what you guys wear when you go out to do installs? And mostly, yeah, that we came dressed to do installs because that's what they're doing at our training facilities. They're doing actual installs. And I'm looking at them and they are, you know, wearing, you know, a hoodie. They're wearing a hat on. One guy had his hat on backwards. You know, he's coming in and he's wearing his hat on backwards. And while he's doing the install, he's taking his sunglasses and he's putting them on his backwards hat backwards. And it just, it occurred to me that when you, for this particular company, there was a, you know, they represent a pretty well-known name brand that was sending people out. And if I Googled installer, you know, and that company's brand name, you know, installation professional, what would come up is a picture of somebody who, you know, was a service tech, but also somebody that was not wearing a hat backwards, was not driving up in a vehicle that was dirty or disheveled, was not standing outside of that vehicle door and smoking a cigarette, you know, in front of the house or you know, there was. And so it made me start thinking, what are our standards? You know, are our standards different for our appearance, for our uniform in this industry? And if that, you know, when you see somebody like that, you know, if you think about a salesperson or a service tech that comes to your home and they're doing that, those types of things, would you, and I'm not saying in this industry, if you saw somebody else come to your home from, you know, HVAC or landscaping or windows or anything else, would it bother you? Would you consider them professional? Probably not. And I started thinking, okay, is that the way our customers see us? And if it is, no wonder they don't bother to call us when they can't make an appointment and they, you know, they stand us up. Or no wonder they don't return our phone calls or they treat us like, you know, when a doctor calls somebody, the doctor calls back. You know, the doctor, hey, can you give me a call? They call back because they want that information from that doctor. You know, why do they not call us back? It's because they don't see us as professional. And if they don't see us as professional, what can we do that makes them see us as professional? So that's kind of the premise. I'm curious what you guys think about this. As weather's getting nice, you know, does it change the way we dress when we go into the home? Do you have or do your installers have a uniform? You know, would somebody see, when they see you walk into the home, you know how when you go to the fast food place, right, and you see the burger up on the sign and it looks beautiful, and then when you get it, it doesn't look like that at all? You know, if they Google your company and they see all the images of all these stock photos of what, you know, the way your company is supposed to represent, do they feel like your whoever comes to their home is like that burger, like the actual burger? You know, the picture on the website is the nice, clean, fluffy, juicy burger, and the person who comes to the house is the real burger. You know, is that the way they feel? You know,
Kelly,
I'm open up. I'm open. What are your thoughts here?
Kelly,
people.
Thoughts, Paul.
Go ahead. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, I think it's so relevant what you're saying, and it makes me think, are each of us that work for a company basically mini billboards that are advertising that company everywhere we go, just like you want your vehicle to be clean and so forth? It's a way to advertise. What image are you advertising? I mean, that's what springs to mind. It's like, you got all these billboards out there. That's it.
Yeah. You're breaking up a little bit, Paul. I'm having a hard time hearing you a little bit, but I hear what you're saying. It's like we every time we go out, we are like billboards. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Kelly, I think to add to that, I mean, I agree. You know, going into different businesses, I know there was one business that we went into that, like, their service calls were outrageous. Well, they weren't outrageous. I mean, they were, for the area, they were probably what would be. But I remember the service technicians going in with an electrical sign. One had an electrical shirt. Another one had a Mustang, you know, because they didn't have company uniforms. And it was, I remember him saying that, I walked up to the house and the lady said, oh, I thought I had a water person coming in. Did I call the wrong company?
Yeah.
And, you know, not only that, but people like to be pampered. You know what I mean? They want somebody, even if you're a company that doesn't charge a whole lot or, you know, you're not as expensive as the big companies, I guess, they still want somebody coming into their home that looks clean, that looks like they didn't throw on the same clothes that they had laid off in the corner the night before and then threw them back on to go to work again. And I've gone into a lot of companies that that's kind of what they, the service technicians and installers look like. Sales professionals, usually they do, I don't think I've run across too many companies where they didn't look somewhat professional. And to that, you have to kind of remember, recently when I was doing interviews for a company, there was a guy that came in and he had a dress shirt and slacks on. And the one of the managers made a comment, I don't know, he was too dressed up, you know. And my response was, he was here dressed to impress. Of course, he's not going to wear that out in the field, but he was dressed to impress. He was here for an interview. So, you know, we can't hold that against him because he wore slacks and a nice shirt, you know. But at any rate, you also have to look at your area that you serve. Is it a bunch of farmers that if you walk in and dress slacks and a dress shirt that they're going to tell you, hey, take off your tie? Or, you know, are you going to million-dollar homes that you really should have a dress shirt and slacks? So you have to, at the same time, either way, you have to make sure it's clean and looks presentable.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Jen. I think it is important, you know, if you're presenting to businesses, you know, or, you know, there we have a client out in the Hamptons, and I never did this, but, you know, when we were working with them, but I was thinking, God, maybe I should have. Maybe they wouldn't have treated me like the help, like so many of them do out there when you go in, you know, and if you dress a little more professionally, you know, and maybe you got to read the audience a little bit. I also think it's interesting. My first job interview that I ever went on was at Long John Silver's, and I wore a tie to all three of the interviews that I went on there. So I think it's kind of interesting now that we have this highly professional, highly paid position available, and the perception is that slacks and a collared shirt is too dressed up. So I think that's kind of interesting as well. Just it is perception. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? What are your thoughts?
This is Elaine.
Go ahead, Elaine.
We use a service. It's called Airmark, and I think they're probably nationwide where they come with your uniform. What I find, though, when I open up they bring a locker that a lot of times my crew does not like the shirt. So they'll come in with their own, as you mentioned, you know, in the wintertime, they'll have their hoodies on. And sometimes their uniforms that's provided by Airmark, they're kind of frayed, and that's an issue I have to get on with them because we're paying a couple $100 a month for these uniforms that sometimes they look worse than what my guys are going to wear on their own. But, you know, you just made me think that I really need to do a better job of looking at my guy, because sometimes they come in and, you know, it could be 110 in Fresno and they're half naked, right? So shorts and stuff. So I have to pay attention. And it was a good reminder that they represent us and our name and our brand. And so I just having a service does not guarantee that your crew looks good. So good food for thought for me.
Yeah, thank you. We've worked with a lot of clients in California and Florida and Texas where shorts are part of the uniform. You know, you can certainly, it is a different type of company, and there is something about your team not being miserable. I mean, God, it would suck if you 100 plus degrees out in your area. I know your area, and it gets hot out there. I remember 118 one time when I was out there, and my uncle lives not too far from where you guys are, and it was, I can't even imagine having to go in there and lug equipment, you know, wearing long sleeves and jeans and everything else, you know. So I think you can still be professional in those uniforms. I just think the word uniform itself is exactly that. It means they're uniform. It means everybody kind of looks the same, right? It doesn't matter who's in the uniform. The uniform identifies them as being part of that team, as part of that organization. It's their uniform. They're all the same. And so I think it really is kind of important, especially if you're branding that professionalism. You know, you got to kind of determine what that is. Go ahead.
Kelly, Ken is reminding me because we just had an OSHA visit. It was a nice visit, though. It wasn't a demerit or anything, but says that our anybody, our sales reps, sometimes we go to the home and we say, would you like me to take off my shoes? Well, that's a violation of OSHA rules because you could step on a nail. You can have
really?
Something on your phone. Yeah, so we have to get booties for our guys because they're not allowed to go but in a home. Or even their socks is not it's a violation of OSHA laws. So in case anybody didn't know that.
Interesting. I learned something. That's a good thought. Absolutely. Okay. Good thought. I guess we're all just going to have to, we talked about last week, like Brandon talked about last week, that we're all just going to have to get those robots that have the inside shoes and the outside shoes, right? anybody else? Any other thoughts? Somebody else had a thought on this?
Yeah, this is Paul up in Traverse City. We provide uniforms for all of our guys. We provide coveralls. We provide booties. Sales team probably looks the best. Front office staff is logoed up. Route drivers can wear shorts in the summertime. Everybody has a logoed shirt with their name on it. Tricky part about that is I have some closets up in a facility, part of our facility that I'm turning into our business part. I have hundreds of shirts and pants because of the turnover.
Yeah.
We're looking at trying to figure out, we're not putting names on shirts anymore. We're working at looking at badges. The guys don't want to wear badges. They get in the way at times. So then we're looking at finding the labels and embroidering them ourselves or finding some type of material to do something like that. There's thousands of dollars that you can spend on uniforms.
Yeah.
We will provide the uniforms, but we make the employee wash the uniforms. So we buy them. They get Carhartt jackets. They get hoodies. They get hats. They get gloves. You know, we get them as close to looking how we want them to look. And I am still telling them, tuck in your shirt. you know, it's amazing what it is that we have available to hire anymore as well.
Yeah, I know. That's
I
part of it. I know.
Getting people dressed is, you know, dress them up. You do look good, like you say, you know, and again, my sales team is spot on. The shoe thing is very interesting because my sales guys are always wearing slip-ons because it's easier to take the shoe on and off than a lace-up. My installers, though, you know, they're always throwing booties on, or my service techs are throwing booties on because they are wearing work boots and it's hard to get in and out of those rapidly. And who knows what that sock's going to look like when they take that boot off. What is the opinion out there on tattoos and facial hair? We limit to a half inch on a beard, and if it's a derogatory, any kind of derogatory, nasty looking tattoo, they have to wear sleeves on their arms. We will not allow that to be present in, when we're going in and out of homes.
Neat and clean.
Neat
and clean, but well, according to our HR, you cannot dictate. As long as it's neat and clean, it's a violation of their personal rights.
What happened to ours?
I know it's California.
That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah,
that's another hot topic, right?
Yeah,
Paul,
that's an interesting one. Yeah, go ahead, Jen. Go ahead.
Something really quick is something that we discuss in our interviews when we hire, and this is whether we're hiring office staff, installers, or sales professionals, is that we, in the very first telephone conversation, even in the job posting, we mentioned that they need to be clean, and presentable, represent the company with honesty and integrity. But when we're in the first conversation, we discuss, you know, professionalism and how you look, and then, you know, when they come in, we discuss that again, is, you know, there will be uniforms and you have to adhere to that. somebody I recently hired, we were talking about getting him polo shirts. And he says, or short sleeve shirts, he says, well, I have a couple of tattoos. I prefer long sleeve. And we're like, I asked, well, are they offensive? And he says, no, they're not at all. They were names of family members or something. And he's like, you know, but I would just prefer to have a long sleeve shirt because not everybody, you know, takes to tattoos very well. You know, I'm like, well, as long as you don't have teardrops or anything, you know, you're okay. But, you know, I think that if you nip it in the bud with, hey, when you are working here, this is what our uniform policy is,
sure,
then they're more apt to adhere to it.
Yeah. We have lots of policies. Boy, oh boy. And I appreciate that very much. I want that guy that you're talking about. Send him up here. I'll give him a job.
No, I just hired him for another one.
We could find that guy for you.
We could.
You and
I love
talk,
Traverse
Kelly.
City in the summer.
Oh, man. You're not kidding. I'm looking at 70, 80 degrees right now up here.
Same. Nice. Yeah, gorgeous.
Brilliant.
Yep.
It's going to snow Monday, but it's pretty good right now.
Guys, it's 9:01 and we're out of time, but I love the participation in this. I feel bad for having rambled for the first, 17 or 18 minutes of it. And just so to give you guys more time to input, I love your feedback. I love the information. And, you know, maybe we'll have a part two of this and talk, you know, drill down a little more specifically on some of the issues that we've talked about here. But, again, no call next week. We will be in Vegas. Please come see us at booth 524. We will talk to you guys in 2 weeks, if not before. And everybody just have an amazing couple weeks here. All right. Safe travels if you're heading to Vegas. Thanks, everybody. Be safe.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Have a great morning.